What did we do yesterday? Okay. Vital signs and some other stuff at the beginning. And what was that other stuff called? Basic techniques and general survey. What are the four techniques of health assessment? Inspection, palpation, percussion. We'll talk about that in a moment. Auscultation. All right. So, inspection is the use of eyes, ears, nose, and tongue, although you will not lick your patients or drink their urine. Palpation, to touch the patient. Percussion, to hit the patient. And then auscultation, to listen with a stethoscope. All right, what I'd like everyone to do is I'd like everyone to do this on their stomach. Now, do it up here. Does it make a different noise? All right, we can use the sound that hitting someone makes to determine what kind of stuff is underneath there. So there's a specific way to hit lung areas that if a person has pneumonia or if a person has hyperinflated lungs, it will sound different than normal lung tissue. You can also do the same thing in the abdomen. Ordinarily, the abdomen is filled up with air. So if you hear, if you have a mass, it will sound different than if you're over air. Also, not usually. Also, if a person has sinusitis, you might tap on their sinuses to see if it hurts. Sometimes they will punch you in the face.
A nurse asked me to touch one time this patient's chest. They had some sort of respiratory problem. I don't remember what it was, but like between the skin and the muscle, it felt like when you press it down, it felt like crackling.
Yeah, that's something else. That's part of palpation, not percussion. In that case, the patient's got little air bubbles in their tissue. And so when you press into that, you're feeling those air bubbles collapse. We'll talk about that when we get to respiratory. All right. The other thing we can do is if a person has back pain, we can hit their back to see if it might be from kidneys. So those are the basic reasons why you would hit a person. When have you been hit during an exam? Reflexes. So testing reflexes is another reason why we might hit the patient. But today we are going to be doing skin. And in skin, we are not going to hit the patient, and we are not going to use a stethoscope either. What we're going to use is eyes and touch. So let's talk about A and P of skin first. So skin is made up of three layers. The outer layer is called the epidermis. It is primarily made up of keratin and keratinized cells. Now, what is keratin? Well, they are dead. So look around the room. So look around the room at the people here. Everything you see on them, almost 100% of what you're looking at is dead. I see dead people. Your skin is dead, your nails are dead, your hair is dead, at least what we see. So, keratin, what is it though? Chemically speaking, it is a protein. And what's its specialty? What's its claim to fame? Protection from? What part of the environment? What does it do? What? It stops stuff. But what is it that keratin stops? What's in your body that's not as much in the air? Okay, what? Water. So keratin is what helps keep water in. And then if you go to the beach, it's what helps keep the water from coming in. So keratin's major job is to waterproof your skin. Now, it's not completely waterproof, but it is fairly water resistant. Now, it's made up of three types of cells. First one is called squamous cells. They're flat, and think of them as little bricks that lay on top of each other and actually kind of make up the structure of the skin. Those then are bonded to the basal cells. Now, what do we say the word basal means? Base. So the base of the epidermis is made up of basal cells. Now, the squamous cells make up what we call the stratum corneum. What does stratum mean?
Layer.
And what does corneum mean? It means husk or outer layer. So it's the shell. So it is the shell layer. Now, stratus germinativum. What does that mean? What is stratum again? Layer. And what is germinativum? What's germinate? It's when a seed sprouts and begins to grow. So this is actually the living cells. It's what germinates your skin cells. So what happens is the stratum germinativum is alive, and it produces new squamous cells, which then get pushed upwards, and then they die. And as they die, they slough off and get scraped off when you exfoliate. Yes, when you exfoliate, or if you shave, or if you scrape yourself, they're meant to come off. So as they come off, they are then replaced by new ones from the bottom. So the new cells are always being produced in that stratum germinativum and being pushed up into the stratum corneum. So this is the growing layer. This is the shell layer. Now, the epidermis is avascular. What does that mean? There's no blood vessels in the epidermis. So if you do a very shallow cut, you won't bleed. If you bleed, you've gone deeper. Now, there are also some melanocytes in the epidermis. What is a melanocyte? It is the cells that produce color. So the color, the pigment that we're talking about is melanin. And it comes from melanocytes, cells that produce melanin. Now, we can have cancers of all three of these cells. If we have a cancer of this, we call it squamous cell carcinoma. If it's from these cells, it's basal cell carcinoma. If it's from these cells, it is melanoma. Gosh, you guys are so smart. Now, below the epidermis, we have the dermis. The dermis's primary makeup is collagen. But what did we say collagen did in the body? Provide strength. Now, there's also elastin in this layer, which allows the skin to stretch. So what I want everyone to do is hold out your arm. And then I want you to hold it out nice and straight. Take the skin on the bottom of your elbow and pull it downwards. And then let it go. What does it do? Goes back up. Why is that? Because of the elastin. Now, why doesn't it break off when you pull on it? Because of the collagen. There's other structural proteins, but the two big ones are collagen and elastin. And collagen is what gives it the strength. Now, in the dermis, we have nerves. So if you take a very sharp knife and you lay it just on the skin and just very slice the epidermis, will it hurt? No, it won't, because there's no nerve endings there. If you penetrate a little bit deeper into the dermis, now it will begin to hurt. Also, this is where we feel touch. So rub your fingers together. What you're feeling is coming from the dermis. Blood vessels. If you go a little bit deeper with your cut, now you'll begin to bleed. This is also where the sweat and sebaceous glands live. What is the purpose of the sweat glands? Regulate body temperature. And by releasing sweat, what are we trying to do? cool down. And what's the mechanism behind that? Evaporation. So when the sweat evaporates, what's it doing? It's literally stealing heat from your body and using that to boil itself and evaporate. Yes. Tattoos are done, yeah. I'm not sure what layer they actually go into. If it goes into the dermis or the subdermis. But I'm betting it's probably in the dermis.
Yeah. Regarding like the skin at your elbow, there's not many nerve endings, say, because you can pretty much go as hard as you can, you don't feel it.
Well, that's just that you're not causing damage.
Yeah. It's like, if you do this, you can feel it.
Right. Yeah. The palmar surface of your arm is much more sensitive than the dorsal surface. So, you know, if you do this versus this, this is much more sensitive. And, you know, that's part of why that happens. All right. Now, what's the purpose of sebaceous glands? Okay, they secrete oil and sebum. It helps to keep your skin moisturized. Your keratin does a decent job of keeping water in or out, but it could use a little bit of help. And the sebum is what does that. Now, what's the problem with sebum? Bacteria love to eat the stuff. So if they begin to eat it inside of the gland, we call that acne. Now, contrary to popular belief, acne can happen at any age, which is really kind of sad for those of us who do not outgrow it. So, I guess we have proactive. All right, then finally we have what we call the subcutaneous layer. The subcutaneous layer is primarily adipose tissue, fat. Now, fat is what makes us look human. It is also one of the secondary sexual characteristics of women. Women have more subcutaneous fat, which is what gives them their rounder, softer appearance. It also cushions us when we bump into things and when we sit down. You would not be able to sit down right now very comfortably without subcutaneous fat in a strategically located area. Now, there's fat subcutaneously, and then there's also fat in our organs. Now, when we, if we get liposuction, where is that fat coming from? It's coming from the subcutaneous fat. Does not go down into the organ area. All right, now let's talk about skin color for a moment. What is it that causes skin color? Pigments, dyes. Well, three things cause it. One is melanin. Melanin is a pigment that's produced by your melanocytes. It makes a person look lighter or darker? Darker. Now, some people naturally produce large amounts of melanin, and they will naturally be brown or very dark. Some people naturally produce very little, but can be stimulated to produce more when they get into the sun. Now, some people, as they go into the sun, what happens is they produce a little bit, but they can't produce enough to protect them, and so they rapidly get a sunburn. Other people can get a nice tan, I say nice, get a tan that is actually protecting them from further sunburns. So some people, no matter how tan they get, if they go out in the sun too long, still going to get burned. Other people can develop a base tan to where once they're tan and dark, they won't get burned. Now, contrary to popular belief, black people can tan some. So if a person can tan, no matter how dark they are naturally, they are at risk for skin cancer. Which skin cancer? Melanoma. So one of the myths is that black people can't get skin cancer. They can. So something that we have to be very careful about. You know, remember we were talking about prejudice and, you know, one of the prejudices a lot of people have is that they think, well, black people can't get cancer, I don't have to look. No, you need to look. Also, you need to ask your patients who are darker in color, do you tan or can you tan? Because that will also give you an indication. Before I came down here from Gainesville, one of our patients actually had a melanoma in his eye. And he was a very dark black guy, but when he took his shirt off, guess what he had? Farmer's tan, because he worked outside all day. So it's something that we have to be very careful about as nurses. You can't just assume just because someone's dark, they can't get a cancer. Yeah, that's, we'll talk about skin and age-related changes in a minute. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what causes your eyes to turn colors, blue, green, brown? It's melanin also. So you have melanocytes in your irises as well as on your skin. So anything that produces melanin can, if it reacts to light, can cause cancer. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him because I moved down here. Yeah. So melanin is, yes.
Can your eye color change? Like, can you have less melanin?
Sure.
In your eye and then it turns into color? So like, well, if you stand outside like that.
Yes, you can get melanin. It's quite possible. You'll probably go blind first. Or get cataracts first. But you can't, I mean, there are other things that are much more common, but they typically don't kill you. That's the thing about melanoma. Say again?
Do you guys get darker if you're like that?
Probably not.
Oh, is that why babies, like, some are born with, like, blue eyes and then later?
Yeah. Now, typically, babies, what happens when they're first born, their melanocytes are not fully functioning. So what happens if they go out in the sun, they burn because they can't tan. Same thing with their eyes. Their eyes have no melanin production, so they're very blue or light. And then as they begin to grow up a little bit, then their melanocytes start working, so their eyes will change from blue to another color. All right, so we have melanin, which makes a person lighter or darker depending on how much a person has. Then we have keratin. Now, what color are carrots?
Orange.
Orange. And keratin is an orange tint. It is naturally produced by the dermis. And it's the gives people an orangish tint. Then we have vascularity. And vascularity has what running inside of it? And blood is red. So we have all three things there that interact with one another to determine a person's skin color. So people from Asia have which pigment is their primary color? Keratin. People from Africa?
Melanin.
People from England and Ireland? Blood. So it's the mixture of all three of those that gives a person their characteristic color. Now, typically, keratin doesn't change. Melanin can change in response to sun and ultraviolet exposure. And vascularity changes according to weight, temperature, and amount of subcutaneous fat. And also, emotion. So, fight or flight, if a person has sympathetic response, what happens to their arteries in the skin? They vasoconstrict, person turns pale. Now, darker people, if they have that, will typically become a little grayish looking. If a person gets embarrassed or flustered, they get vasodilation and become a little reddish looking. All right. Oh, by the way, something interesting. If you look inside of a person's mouth, what color is the mouth? It's almost always pinkish or reddish. Why is that? Because of blood. And if you look at a very dark person, a lot of times their lips are still slightly reddish. Why is that?
Because they have blood.
because the lips are thinner skin, so you have less melanin. So that allows more of the blood to show through on the lips. So again, it's just all combinations of these three basic colors: dark, red, and orange.